Okay, turn to Hebrews. So last couple of weeks, we taught on some interesting good stuff, I hope. We have still some CDs up there from Almost, which is, you know, we looked at, we don't want to be almost with God. We want to believe Him. Too many times, you know, like Peter, he got out on the water, but then he got afraid, and he looked at the situation, the circumstances. So he almost really saw great things happen, but then he started to sink, and Jesus Christ had to pull him up out of the water. And, you know, there's other situations where people just pull up short. And we don't want to pull up short on God. We want to believe God. We want to see the things of God come to pass. And last week, we looked at having a God attitude. We want to have a God attitude. David had a God attitude, you know, when he went to see his brothers and the Philistines were there and Goliath showed up all 13 foot tall or however big he was with all the stuff. David's attitude was, he's an uncircumcised Philistine. It's no big deal. God's the one that fights our battles. And that should be our attitude, that God fights our battles. We have a God attitude. So continuing on in that vein, we're going to look at believing and that we should dare to believe. Or I'm going to challenge you to believe. I challenge myself to believe. We should challenge ourselves, dare ourselves to believe God rather than wimping out. You know, what are the promises of God and what He says? So Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith or without believing, it is impossible to please Him, is in italics, but it's referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, do we seek God, or are we seeking, you know, are you seeking riches? Are you seeking fame? Are you seeking power? Or are you seeking God? Interestingly, in the Old Testament, Solomon, who is reputed to be the wisest and wealthiest man that ever lived, he didn't seek wealth and he didn't seek wisdom. Well, he did seek wisdom. He sought wisdom to serve God, you know, as a qualifier. He didn't seek worldly wisdom. He didn't seek to be the greatest intellectual in the world. He didn't seek to be the richest man in the world. He didn't seek to be the most powerful man in the world. But he prayed to God and said, give me wisdom and understanding so that I can serve your people, judge your people. You know, that's what he was looking for. He was seeking God. And that's what we need to be seeking. You know, we don't seek God so that He will do something for us, but we seek God because He's God, because He does so much for us, because He sent His Son to die for us, because He is so merciful, so forgiving, so loving, so caring. And it says that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And it says that it's impossible to please Him except when you believe. Pretty great. Let's go to Mark. So let's look at different situations of believing a little bit, or things that people say about it. And maybe it can encourage us and help us to believe more, believe bigger, or something, or just believe, you know. Want to believe God. See, Mark chapter 9. Did I say Mark chapter 9?
No.
Mark chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 14. And Jesus Christ was away by Himself praying and spending time with God. And it says, and He came to His disciples, and He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. A dumb spirit here means an unclean spirit. So we don't know exactly what that means necessarily, but his son had problems. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with the teeth and pineth away. And pineth away means to waste away, mm-hmm. like you would be if you were malnourished. And it does not take a long time to suffer malnutrition or, you know, starve to death. It doesn't take very long at all. If you ever read about people in bad situations where they don't have a lot of food, they lose enormous amounts of weight in very short periods of time. Now, when we diet, it seems to be very difficult, but when you're starving, it's very easy because your body will start using up the fat real quick just to have, you know, to feed itself and keep itself going. And so this child has some problems, doesn't he? The spirit taketh him and teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. Sounds almost like somebody that suffers seizures and has problems and all kinds of stuff. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They couldn't do it. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you or endure you? Bring him to me. And they brought him, the son, the child, unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. That must have been a horrible sight, huh? Not, if you've ever seen anybody have a seizure, you know, a violent one, it's not pleasant sometimes. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, meaning infancy. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on me and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. You know, the man said, if thou canst help me. And Jesus Christ said, if thou canst believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, Jesus Christ didn't say, all things are possible to you specifically that believeth. But he said, generally, all things are possible to him. Meaning to anyone that believeth. And the all things possible are all things possible that God says are possible. It's not just all things, you know. I can't grow to be 10 foot tall. I can't fly like a bird. I can't swim underwater for 2 hours and not breathe. But whatever God would tell me I can do, I can do, and all things are possible to him that believeth. God says that healing is available, that it's possible. God says lots of things are possible, doesn't he? God says he will meet your needs. And whatever your needs are, he will meet them. That is possible, right? Whatever he says is possible is possible. Okay, you know what you do? If you pick up that phone, there's a green thing, and then there's a red thing. Hit the green and then hit the red. Thank you. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That guy was pretty smart. He said, okay, I'm not there, so help me. Help me to believe. Lead the way. And then Jesus went and he ministered to the child and did what he needed to do, and the child got healed. Pretty great. Let's go to Matthew 21. So Jesus Christ said concerning believing, all things are possible to him that believeth. In the context of the Word of God and what God says is possible. Because, you know, believing, you have to understand what believing is. Believing is to take what God says and act upon it with all confidence. It's believing. It's believing God. It's not believing for things. It's not believing just, you know, out of the blue, but it's believing God. Now, if God tells you you can believe for something, then you can believe for it, right? But generally, we just want to believe God. We want to believe the promises of God in God's word. And then, so God says, for instance, I'll supply all your need. Okay, so then you have a need. Well, you pray to God and say, you know, I have this need. God, you've promised me that you'd meet my need. Then God could tell you specifically, well, you can believe for this or you can believe for that. You know, or it doesn't matter. Whatever you want concerning this need, I'll take care of it for you. He can do that. Okay, Matthew 21, verse 22. This is after the fig tree, and Jesus Christ curses the fig tree, and he explains to them about believing, and then it says in verse 22, and all things, how many things? All things. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall what? Receive. Receive. When you pray, you have to pray with what?
Believing.
Believing. When you ask God for things in prayer, if you believe, you shall absolutely receive them. Again, they would have to be things that God says are available, right? Pretty simple. So we are to believe, and we are to believe God. And you know, when you know the Word of God, and you know the promises of God, and the things that God has done for people, you know, it's not just specific promises necessarily, but it can be, you know, God gives us examples, doesn't he? So, for instance, David went against the Philistine. Well, when you have an overwhelming opposition in your life to your living for God and doing what you need to do for God, and something is an overwhelming opposition to that, you can believe that God will deliver you from that opposition, can't you? From that enemy, from that situation, from that circumstance. Because God is God. See, and we have that example of David. It's not that, you know, the opposition or the situation or the circumstance can ever be too big. Because if it hinders you from walking with God, that's what really the whole thing with the Philistines was all about, wasn't it? God had called Israel to live for him and to be his people, and this people was going to enslave Israel, and they worshiped false gods. So David, believing God, having already been anointed by God and called, said, well, you know, this guy's an uncircumcised Philistine. I'm not worried about him. He's a slime ball. He didn't say that, but that's the attitude, you know. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. If you're a Jew, you can't say anything worse about anybody than you're uncircumcised. You know, Philistine meant an unbeliever, right? A Gentile. Mm-hmm. Not the chosen of God. Okay, let's go to Romans. Woohoo! So we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is filled with incredible, magnanimous, I had to get that word in there, incredible, wonderful promises from God. Great promises. So why wouldn't we want to believe them? You know, why wouldn't we want to believe them? We would. Goes without saying. And we believe, and what has made it even better for us is that Jesus Christ has paved the way. Jesus Christ was the author of believing. And he paid the price so that we can go before God with all boldness. We don't have to worry about being guilty of anything. We don't have to worry about God not hearing us or listening to us, because he's already promised that he's always listening to us. He's already made a way for us. He's available to us. We have access to him because of Jesus Christ. So by way of Jesus Christ, we can believe God for all his promises, for everything. It's pretty great. Pretty amazing. Romans, I should go there because I told you to. Romans chapter 1. A very Familiar verse, I'm sure. We're going to start in verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's Paul speaking, and it's the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if we go back to the earlier verses in this chapter. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what?
Believes.
It is the power of salvation. Now, the word salvation is used three ways in the Word of God. It's used, well, it's used of getting born again, right? It's used of physical wholeness, because it's a form of the word to be made whole. And it's used of deliverance in any way, shape, or form. And so when you see the word salvation, all you have to do is look at the context to see what it's referring to. But it's salvation. So here it says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, or believing to believing, as it is written, the just shall live by believing. God intended us. We are the just, right? We're the righteous, same word. Just translated just, or sometimes translated righteous. But we are the just. We are the righteous. We've been justified. We have been made holy before God. We're holy and without blame before Him. Look. And God's intention was for His people to live by believing. God's intention in the Old Testament for Israel was what? For them to live by believing. That's how He wants us to live. Not by sense knowledge, not by sight, but by believing. He wants us to believe His word, first and foremost. If we're seeking His word, then we're seeking Him, we pay attention to His word, we give credence and credibility to His word, we believe His word above what sense knowledge may tell us, right? We believe God. We believe God. We should be daring ourselves, challenging ourselves to believe. Okay, here's my situation. I have ABC going on here. This is negative, but I have the Word of God, and it promises just the opposite. So what am I going to do? I'm going to freak out. No, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to challenge myself to do God's Word in the situation. It's pretty great. You know, and you know how we get tricked in the biggest way? I didn't really get into some verses on this, but the way we get tricked is we get so involved with ourselves. Everything, we become the center of the universe. And that's not what God intended. God's the center of the universe. And we are to be giving and concerned not with ourselves, but with others, doing for each other. We get so involved, and then we get so wrapped up, and then we get so afraid. What the great difference between Christianity and other religions is, other religions continually look inward and become self-absorbed. Christianity is the opposite. Christianity is we're reaching out. We're looking to serve. We're looking to bless. We're looking to give. It's just the opposite. We're not to be self-absorbed. The world doesn't revolve. The universe does not revolve around us. We are not the center of the universe. God is. Seek God. Seek God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, right? Seek God. Seek to serve God. Seek to love God. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are to live by believing, and that pleases God, doesn't it? So it doesn't only bring us salvation or deliverance, but it also pleases God. Every time we believe God, we please God. That's pretty great. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. Now let's read verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. How does a father theoretically charge his children? He instructs them, he loves them, he teaches them. I can't say I always did that where I was supposed to all the time, but I endeavored to. So, but as a father would exhort and teach his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is written in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's effectual. It works in us and for us when we believe it, when we act upon it, when we do what it says. It's pretty great, isn't it? It's not hard, but we dare ourselves, we challenge ourselves to believe. Believing God is not magic. Sometimes people think, well, you know why a lot of people get hooked and start looking for other things? You know, they're always looking for a magic potion in the Word of God. They're looking for the little key that's going to make the big difference in their life when they already have it. You know, we learned almost from the very beginning, all of you. I know all of you have learned this in the very beginning. Here are five keys to receiving anything from God. Right. Know what's available, how to receive it, which is believing. Mm-hmm. What to do with it after you've got it. God's willingness is equal to his ability, and needs and wants parallel. Any to receive anything from God. Anything means what?
Anything.
You know, we document that in the Word. Yeah. Believing is the key. All things are possible to him that believeth. There's no magic potion. There's no hidden thing that everybody has missed for the last 30 years. It's just you need to believe. And the problem is people don't believe. They try to do it their own way. They try to make up things. They say, well, I can't really do it. They look for excuses not to do what God's word says. We need to look for... Well, there's, it's obvious the reasons we look to believe God, because he's God. And when we believe God, we please him. When we seek his word and we seek him, he rewards us. We seek to please God because he has blessed us so much. He has sent his son to accomplish all that he accomplished for us. So we should want to believe, and we should challenge ourselves to believe, and we should discipline ourselves to believe, and we should look to believe in every aspect of life. Not hard. But it's not magic. It's not hocus pocus. It's not mysterious. It's putting the Word of God into your heart and acting upon it. Duh. How easy is that? Put the Word of God on in your heart and you act upon it. Okay, Mark 11. You know, really the two greatest or the three greatest things you ever learn about the Word of God is the Word of God is the will of God. Okay, the Word of God is the will of God. So what is God's will for my life? Well, the Word of God is God's will for your life. And it's not difficult, it's not hard, and basically can be summed up in a couple of short sentences or words. Seek God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? Or, you know, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. I mean, it's some incredibly great and simple statements about life and what it really is all about. And, you know, some of the greatest subjects in the Word are, you know, we know that the Word of God is the will of God, believing and the hope. We walk in believing, and if we fall short, we have the hope. And if Christ doesn't come back, we have the hope. And, you know, as your body breaks down and gets old, you have hope. But you can still believe God. You can still contribute to the body of Christ. You can still live for God, no matter what your situation is, no matter where you are in life. And no matter what happens in life, you can turn your life around. The deliverance of God is a second away. It's always a second away. All you have to do is believe, no matter how dire. How about Hezekiah? You know, Hezekiah is the king of Israel. I should have taught this today. But Isaiah comes in and says, you're going to die, and turns around and walks out. If a man of God, who you knew was a man of God, a prophet, and he came in and he says, God told me you're going to die, what would you do? Write your will?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. I have to make a will.
Write your will? Or curse the ground and die? You know, that's what Job's wife cursed God and die. That's what Job's wife told him to do. Curse God and die. Great counsel. Great counsel. What a woman. Okay. You know, here Isaiah comes in. He's a prophet. He's a great prophet. And Hezekiah is a good man and a good king. And Isaiah says, you're going to die. God told me you're going to die. And he leaves. And what does Hezekiah do? He dares to believe God. He prays to God. He said, God, I don't want to die yet. And before Isaiah even gets out of the palace, God says, turn around. Tell him he's got 15 more years. I don't care how old you are. If you knew you were dying and God said you could have 15 more years, you'd take it, wouldn't you? Damn right. If he gave you 10 more days, you'd take it. You'd challenge yourself to believe God. You could have quit. I mean, think of it. He doesn't give us negative revelation like that, usually. He gives us positive revelation. He gives us, you know, I'm going to do this for you and I'm going to do that. Dare to believe. Now, obviously, Hezekiah knew that God could heal and would heal and can give life. And he prayed to God and asked him. And what did God do? Gave him life. Healed him. Pretty great. There's so many instances that I told you to go to Mark chapter 11. Good. I should go there. Okay. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. This is the same record in Mark that we read about believing and prayer in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 23 of Mark 11, it says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay, now this has to be according to God's word. But if God gives you revelation and says you can believe for this, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe, you'll have it. But we get talked out of things sometimes. We don't dare to believe. We don't challenge ourselves to believe God. We don't have that God attitude. Can't doubt. You got to believe. And you know, what alternative do you really have? The alternatives to believing God are doubt, worry, and fear.
Right.
The alternatives to God is being miserable, negative, unhappy. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Actually, I'll read verse 7. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, of God's power. Paul's saying, look, here I am. I am been made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. We could all say that. We could all say, I'm the less than the least of all saints. I mean, we could all say that. But Paul said it, he meant it, because he was a humble man and he realized what he had done in his life and how he had persecuted the church and done the things he had done. So he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that grace, the gift of grace, that he was a minister, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or untrackable riches of Christ. They were untrackable because they were hid in the Old Testament. He's talking about the mystery and the untrackable riches of the mystery in the Old Testament. Gentiles knew they would be blessed. It says that all nations of the earth would be blessed by Abraham, but they didn't know how they'd be blessed. They didn't know that they would be equal to Israel. They didn't know it would be one body of Christ. They didn't know that it would be Christ in them, the hope of glory. They didn't know that they would be sons of God with an incorruptible seed. No indication of that. Pretty great. The untrackable, untraceable riches of Christ. And to make all men see, this is his purpose, to make all men see what is the administration of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold, infinitely diverse wisdom of God. There's different ways you can translate that word manifold, but it's, you know, multifaceted wisdom of God. I mean, God has all the wisdom. He's all wise. He knows everything, and he knows different ways to apply that wisdom and how to bring things to pass and how to bless people and how to do things. And, you know, God is God. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He had an eternal purpose. His eternal purpose was he gave us eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. Pretty great. In whom, in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith or believing of him. And there's the right way of believing from him, from Jesus Christ. We have access and boldness and confidence by believing, by the right way of believing. We should have no fear, no concern, no doubt about believing what God has told us and what God has promised us. And we can go right before him and remind him. Remind him. You know, there's lots of indications, lots of times when people have gone before God and reminded God of his promises. Here, remember, God, you promised this. It's time to do it. This is the time we need it. Boldness and access with confidence. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We are strengthened with his might. How mighty is God?
Ain't no bigger.
You know, if somebody was coming up to you and they were going to rob you and you had a 44 Magnum, you'd feel pretty empowered, wouldn't you? pretty brave. You're not going to rob me. But we have God's power, God's might in every situation. We are strengthened with His might in the inner man, by His Spirit. Every time we speak in tongues, we can remind ourselves that we have the power of God resident within us. You know, it's not only proof that we're born again. It's not only proof that we have eternal life. It's not only proof that He's coming back to gather us together and that we're going to live with the Lord forever. But when we speak in tongues, it also can remind us that we are strengthened with His might in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by believing. He dwells in our hearts by believing. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. You know, we can be rooted and grounded in love. We don't have to be, but we can be. We have that ability to be. We have the ability to love and to be rooted and grounded in God's love, which He gave us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, or passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him, now unto who? God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, that used to be a big verse in my life, and I used to hear people say it all the time. They'd say, how you doing? And they'd say, I'm having an Ephesians 3:20 day. You know, or how did that situation work out? Ephesians 3:20. You know what? We should expect Ephesians 3:20, that God would do exceeding abundantly above. I think that's a figure of speech to emphasize that God goes way beyond what we can imagine to take care of us, to bless us, to do what He needs to do for us. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I bet you could ask for a lot, and I bet you can think for a lot. God can go way beyond it. You know, sometimes we have situations and we really limit God because we have the great tendency of saying, okay, God, here's a situation. This is what I'd like you to do for me. And we tell God how to deliver us. Yeah, thanks. How and when and why and what? And you know what? God goes way beyond what we ask or think when we allow Him to. How about, okay, God, here's a situation you know because you know everything, and I need deliverance. So show me what you can do. Just tell me what you need me to do, and then you do your thing. And I guarantee God will go way beyond what you imagine or think or pray for. We just have to dare to believe that what God says, He'll do. What God says He can do, He will do. What God says He is for us, He is. Pretty great. Let's go to chapter 1. It says in verse 19, well, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He wants us to comprehend, to see, to know all that He's got in store for us. He wants us to have our eyes open. He wants us to be able to see it. You know, that means to comprehend it, to understand, to really grasp what He's telling us, that we have the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And then it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? He wants us to comprehend, to see what is the exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or the heavenly realm, or the heavens. Well, how much power and might did God display when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead?
Right.
He didn't just, you know, raise him from the dead. He waited 3 days. And then he raised him from the dead. And then he gave him the new body, which was a really cool, great body, which it says, we will be as he is. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get the same body, or same kind of body. And what else did he do? He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand. How did he ascend? Pretty cool. He just, right in front of them. And they stared, looking up, going, wow. That's how he went up. That's a pretty great display of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what does it say here? He would like us to understand the working of his mighty power. And it's to us who believe him, how much is available. Why don't we dare to believe? Dare to believe. Dare to believe. Amazing. You know, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 85. Nope. Let's see. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So if that's true, if God, what God is saying is true, dare to believe it, right? How much are you sowing in your life? What are you sowing? Do you need love in your life? How about loving more? You know, you need affection and concern for your life. How about being affectionate and concerned more for other people? How about, you know, whatever? That's what we need to do. That's daring to believe. Push the limit. You know, we push the envelope in so many ways in life. Mostly in stupid ways. How about doing it God way? God's way. Push the envelope with God. See how far you can go with God. How much you can believe God. Dare to believe. Are his promises not true? Yeah, they are true. If you don't think they're true, why are you sitting here? Do you come here for church, or do you come here to learn to believe? To be encouraged and inspired to go out and believe him. That's really the whole point of it. We hear the word and we encourage one another and we pray for one another and then we go out and do it. That's what we are to do. To challenge ourselves and to each other. Challenge each other to believe. Pretty great. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll close there. Because it's just a great verse to close. Considering, all in all, similar to what he said in Ephesians chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 25, he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That should make you pretty bold. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the riches of the glory of the mystery. I love the way God puts things in the superlative. You know, how he emphasizes. He doesn't say, it's Christ in you. He says, it's the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you. To emphasize how great it is, how tremendous. He doesn't just say, I'll give you what you pray for. He says, I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. How incredible is that? But you know, we're the ones that have to believe. And we need to challenge ourselves to believe. We need to push ourselves to believe. I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to give in on this. I'm going to believe God. And to start living that life that God intended us to live, where we're not just thinking about, oh, I need this, I need that, I do, but rather to give, to love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah. When you start doing that, you're going to start seeing the problems melt away, and you're going to see the blessings start to flow. Mm-hmm. And then when you have a need, you just give it to God and move ahead. Because you don't have time for problems. You have time to do for God. If you're seeking God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you don't have time for problems. So God's going to bless you because you're too busy giving. You're too busy doing his work. You're too busy helping others to believe to be concerned about your own problems. Because they'll melt away. You'll see God's deliverance like you've never seen it before. So amen and amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. And we thank you that you can teach us how to believe better, that we can challenge ourselves each and every day in every situation just to look to you and to believe, and that we can seek to love you and to serve you and to do your will in every situation, in every circumstance, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We just thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.